Good morning, church.
Good morning, Pastor.
It's great to have a peanut gallery. Grace and peace from God our Creator and the Lord Jesus Christ. As we begin this morning, there are a couple of announcements that I want to make sure that you are aware of. Looks like it's going to be a busy week here in Essex Center. We've got things happening Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Saturday, and just a reminder, if you all have never experienced the bizarre, crafty women of Essex, I encourage you to come out on Tuesday afternoons because it's a great group of folks who are preparing for the Fall Bazaar. And I'm clearly not very crafty and not very handy, but they're a very welcoming group, and they're providing a variety of things, but most especially some time for conversation and some fellowship and just sharing God's love and peace. And it's downstairs in the fellowship hall. And yeah, I hope I haven't overstepped my bounds by inviting you. Okay, that's okay, Nancy? Beautiful. Okay. And also, trustees are meeting on Tuesday night at 6:30. That, I understand, is going to be both a in-person and a Zoom, because we have, we're just trying to make sure that meet as many needs as we can and recognize that we're all in different places. So the link is not there, but we will make sure to get that out to the trustee board. And then Wednesday we got a couple of things happening. Wednesday's our next opportunity for conversation, and it's going to be at 10 o'clock in the morning. It's going to be in the church parlor, and I'm looking forward to, got a bunch of folks. Ooh, that reminds me. Dawn was wagging her finger at me. She's like, and I'm like, I'm not sure I did anything wrong yet, but clearly I had. It's the clipboards, and so I'm just going to, Emmett, I'm going to start them with you, okay? But that clipboard is for sign-ups for our conversations together, and it's an opportunity for me to hear what's happening in your lives, for us to get to know one another a little bit, and for you to ask, you know, whatever is on your heart and mind. So the other dates are listed in the bulletin. They are on the sign-up sheet. They are the next two. One is going to be a yummy one, as you can tell, at the Sweet Alchemy Bakery. Clearly, I'm interested to find the etymology of the name. You know, what do we turn into sweet things? And then the other one is at the Maple Street Park. So we've been trying to alternate times and dates, but if none of those work for you and you don't sign up for one, here's what I want you to know, both folks that are here and those who are watching. I'm going to find you, okay? Because it's really important for me that we have opportunities to make connection and to have conversation. I really need to hear who you are and what your dreams are. So if you don't sign up, I'm going to be calling. Or Dawn's going to be calling. But we're going to find a way that we can have that kind of conversation. The other clipboard is for ushers and... Oh, it's just ushers, because apparently we've got we're full with all the food stuff.
And the other one should be helping with communion.
Oh, and communion helper. So there is two sheets. There you go. The other event that happens on Wednesdays, and it happens in person and remotely, is our Tuesday worship. And I know that many of you understand there's a wonderful group of folks who gather on Wednesday afternoons at 4 o'clock, and it was really our co-lay leader, Donna Paffrath, was in, really initiated and carried that. And we have continued that. But we're not. We're also doing in person and Zoom. So the link, that is always going to be the link in your bulletin. So if you're ever looking for it, that's what it is. You can take that and take it to church, not the bank. And if you have questions or you've never experienced it, tune in or join us. It's about 30 to 40 minutes of time together. It's an opportunity to become centered, to listen, and to hear and experience the presence of God. And then this Saturday, our bishop is coming to the Vermont district, and there's going to be a potluck at the Shelburne Church. And I think some of you probably know the pastor down there. I don't know. I heard something about it anyway. But if you would like to, Grace and I will definitely be there. And it starts at 5 o'clock, and the bishop is going to give an address to us. So if you'd like to go, please make a reservation, and that link is in your bulletin. Have I forgotten anything that we need to share? Yes, ma'am.
You haven't forgotten it because you probably didn't know, but I would like the church to know that if you check the hedgerow out here and you check the front of the church and down the side, it's all been cleaned up thanks to Jim Packer, who worked so hard on Friday to get it up.
Thank you. Woo-hoo!
My pleasure.
We share that with you, Jim. Thank you. This morning, as we celebrate communion, you can see that we will be having communion in three ways. One, virtually, for all those who are at home. So if you're at home watching, please make sure you have something to eat and drink available when we get to that place. For those of us here and present, there are two ways if you choose to participate. One will be with intinction, and that will be over here, just as your bulletin directs. The other is when the elements are consecrated, there will be individual servings of bread and juice here. And so we're trying to make this as positive and healthy and as meaningful as we can. And so we're going to get it wrong. Well, I don't know that you can do communion wrong, but if you can, and if we do, feedback is important so that we can strengthen and find ways to gain the fulfillment and the blessing and the presence and the worship of the Lord. Unless there's something else, then would you stand and greet each other with signs of God's love and peace? Peace be with you.
Yeah, I've been every weekend, I think. I might drive again. things in perspective, and obviously I haven't, but it's coming.
Don't worry at all.
Thank you so much.
Down from the kitchen, even downstairs. Either way.
Thank you.
All right.
Appreciate your graciousness. Gentlemen, again, peace. Thank you.
Jeremy, how are you?
I finally brought the gavel. It's
a replica of Francis Asbury's saddlebag gavel. And it got quiet, and I'm like, I won't have to use it. But then of course, there was the piano player. Let's take a moment. Let us become settled in heart, mind, body, and spirit. Together, let us come before God in silent prayer. As you're able, would you stand and would you join as Fred leads us in our call to worship from Psalm 51.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Have mercy on me, O God, and in your faithful love and great tenderness, wipe away my offenses. Wash me clean from my guilt and purify me from my sin. For I'm well aware of my offenses. My sin is constantly in my mind.
Your delight is in a sincere heart,
and you quietly teach me wisdom.
Purify me with hyssop till I am clean. Wash me till I am whiter than snow. Let me hear the sound of joy and gladness, so that my crushed body can dance again.
Create me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me, that I am not thrust from your presence, and in your spirit of holiness is not taken away. Return to me the joy of your salvation with a generous spirit, and I will teach others like me that they too may return to you.
Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Sacrifice gives you no pleasure. Burnt offerings you do not desire. The sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit, a broken, contrite heart you never scorn. Our hymn of response, number 2133 in The Faith We Sing, Give Me a Clean Heart. My heart, so that I may be used by thee, for I'm not worthy of all those blessings. Give me a clean heart and not follow thee. Give me a join me as we lift our hearts and our voices to the Lord in prayer. O Lord our God, you are always more ready to bestow your good gifts on us than we are to see them, and are willing to give more than we desire or deserve. Help us to see that we may truly find, so to ask that we may joyfully receive, so to knock that the door of your mercy may be open to us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, we are particularly blessed this morning because we've got a bunch of young people with us, and so I would like to invite them to come on down and they're getting their hands full of stuff. Come on, Julia. Yeah, come on. Thank you, Allison and Hannah and Emma. You want to join us, Julia? Yeah, you can. You could bring your school bus.
Oh boy.
Yeah, there you go. Bring it down. Everybody needs something to share. Yeah, come on. Okay. Good job. Yeah. So, good morning. Good to see you all, and it's good to see you all who are worshiping with us at home as well. So, I'm excited because I don't know whether you could tell, but I like to eat. I do. Do you like to eat?
I'm hungry all the time.
You're hungry all the time. It's just the beginning. How about you?
I'm hungry sometimes.
Sometimes.
I'm hungry a lot.
You're hungry a lot. And Julia, do you have a favorite food? Yeah? Who's got a favorite food?
Everybody.
Well, no, okay. Aww. Thank you, sweetie. That's a lot of what you just did is exactly where I wanted us to go. Can we share? Yeah. So one of the things that I appreciated is you guys brought some food up today that your family brought, right? Yeah. Why did you bring the food? For people who don't have enough food to eat. On the front of the bullet, I put some pictures because the first one, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. See, one of the things that seems to me that is really important to God is that God wants all of us to have enough to live. Not just love, but the things that feed our bodies too, because who made our bodies? Absolutely, God made our bodies. And who made the world? Good answer. And one of the things that God did in creating us is God gave us bodies, right? And brains or minds, right? Okay, and hearts, like our emotions, right? And something that's really hard to describe and even to picture, but our souls, right? And our souls are that part of God that we share. Even though we don't see God, God lives within us, right? And that's that part of our being is called a soul, okay? And God is concerned about all those things. Oops, I almost put my mask over my eyes. And one of the things that we do every month is we celebrate something called Holy Communion, right? Which means that we have bread, excellent, and we have juice, absolutely. And in this, we have this because Jesus wanted us to know that God wants us to be fed body, mind, heart, and soul, right? And Jesus is concerned with all of that. And so he uses words like, I'm the bread of life, because he helps feed our hearts and our souls in the things that he said and the things that he did. when we have communion, we're saying, yeah, man, we're in there. And just like we feed our bodies, you feed our hearts, our souls, and our minds. And then when we do this and share, we become God's partners, Jesus' partners. So Julia, just like you shared your school bus with me, when we share food together, yes, that sharing is a way that we practice Jesus' love. Yeah, exactly. Now, so for the past couple of weeks, we've been singing a song, right? We've sung two songs. The Seed in the Ground and
Inch by Inch.
I wanted to say Inch by Inch, and then it's like, no, that's the caterpillar. No, I get confused. But this morning, we got a little bit different style, okay? So I'm gonna ask another helper to come up. So Grace, would you come up and help teach us this new rhyme?
Hi.
Cool, because I'm an old white guy.
We are who we are.
We are. God is great, and God is good.
And we thank God for our food.
And we thank God for our food.
When we drink juice or eat some bread.
When we drink juice or eat some bread.
We think about what Jesus said.
We think about what Jesus said.
First I give this all to you.
First I give this all to you.
So you can share with others too.
So you can share with others too. So share the bread with those around.
And share the juice till joy is found.
Woohoo! Next week, you get to dance to it. Thanks, guys. Just open your ears and your hearts to the word of God that Fred is going to bring to us from the 6th chapter of John.
So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered them, Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me. Not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal. Then they said to him, What must we do to perform the works of God? Jesus answered them, This is the work of God, that you may believe in him who he has sent.
This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to Christ.
And as you're able, if you would turn to number 2165 in the Faith We Sing, and stand, let's join together.
It is the cry of my heart to be close to you. It is the cry of my heart to follow you.
So the people said to Jesus, "What sign are you going to give to us so that we might see it and believe in you? What work are you performing?" Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And they said, "Sir, give us this bread. Give it to us always." And Jesus responded, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But I said to you that you've seen me, and yet you do not believe." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to Christ.
Mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, Lord. You are our rock, you are our Redeemer. Amen. John's Gospel, or the writer of John's Gospel, and the work that we have received across the millennium is an incredibly powerful text. And it's rich in all kinds of symbolism and wonder. But there are times when it's just like, really? Can we not make this just a little bit more simple? Sometimes Jesus just gets on a roll in the Gospel of John. The epitome of which is, for me, anyway, is the expansive words and prayers and admonitions during that Last Supper. I mean, that was like the supper that would not end in John's Gospel. And one of the things that is going to happen for us is that over the course of this next month, we are going to hear about Jesus and the bread of life for 3 or 4 weeks, okay? It's one of those things of like, gee, can't we move on? Okay, we got this. Okay, you're the bread of life. Yeah, got it, okay? We'll do it on Communion Sunday. No, we're gonna come back to it next week, and we're gonna come back to it the week after that. We're gonna come back to it the week after that. And I realize that the folks that put together what we call the Revised Common Lectionary really understand me. Repetition is something that I need a lot. I'm mindful of the story of the pastor, and I shared this with Jeremy actually a couple of weeks back. The pastor who was serving their first church, and she was so excited to be present, and she had all these things that she felt God had put on her heart, and was just couldn't wait to expound and share with the people things she found so wonderfully freeing and liberating. And she preached with all the enthusiasm of a new graduate. Y'all know what I mean, right? You know, just, oh. And she was greeting folks at the door as they were going out. And that was a nice sermon, Pastor. Thank you for your message. People were very cordial. People were very affirming. And there was just something that, I don't know, couldn't just didn't seem to actually make the connection with what she was trying to express. And so she decided that next week that she'd try it again. And so the very next week she preached the same sermon. And the response that she got was, that was really thought-provoking. I think I understand what you were trying to say. I'm really going to ponder that this next week. But then some things happened during the week that made it really clear that, well, maybe she really hadn't gotten it across the way she wanted to. And so she decided one more time to offer the same sermon. And she preached it, and the response she got was, you know, I think I remember something. That I've heard something like this before. But still, nothing seemed to change. And so the fourth week, she preached the same sermon again, the same one she preached for the first 3 weeks. And somebody came to her and said, Pastor, you preached this sermon before, haven't you? We expect a new word every week. She said, well, from what I've observed, you didn't get the first one. So I'm just going to stick with it until we apply that one. That's how I experience these John stories. What does it mean when Jesus says, I am the bread of life? What's bread mean to you? What does it represent? You know, we're incredibly blessed to have people who love to bake in this congregation. And I'm incredible. I was really moved when I was told that whenever the bread for communion is baked, that the default is that it is gluten-free bread. The expectation is we seek to find the place that is most common and build from there. I also thought it was incredibly Wesleyan that Essex would choose gluten-free bread. I mean, that's the whole point of the juice, right? So that more persons, without having to think about it or be concerned about it, can come to the table that Jesus invites us to. And I just want to ask our baker this morning. So, friend, how did you get into baking communion bread? What drew you in?
Kathy Dodge sort of headed this out, and she asked for volunteers, and I volunteered to start baking bread. And I'm trying to think how far back this goes. I think we started out with gluten-free bread. And I don't know if anyone else here has noticed, but there's a terrible mess up front on the floor. whenever because it gets broken apart, and obviously gluten is what holds the bread together. So when you don't have the gluten, it falls apart. Now this new recipe, which I tried, Roger Dodd and I sort of, we talked back and forth about our experiences. And it called for one egg and 3 egg whites. Now I'm hoping that these egg whites did something to hold it together.
Combine them together.
I guess we'll all find out.
Well, maybe what we ought to do then is right before I bless and break the loaf, we should sing Bind Us Together.
Or you put a tarp down there.
Or a tarp. Yeah, I bet nobody here has ever noticed that there's crumbs. Right? Shoot. This is a church. We find out all that stuff, don't we? Right? I have to say, how appropriate it is that communion is messy in our fellowship. How theologically consistent. Because is your life not a mess? I mean this seriously. Life is messy. It's filled with all kinds of things. We strive for issues like, who likes to be in control? Sure. Right? That's the illusion that we have, right? Right? We have watches. We have cell phones. We have rules. We have all kinds of things that we put in. We have bulletins, right? Right? Because the purpose of the bulletins is to keep everybody on the same page, right? Moving in the same direction. What happens when it gets changed? Everybody freaks out, right? Particularly, God bless you, the musicians. Oh, we're not going to sing, you know, 361. We're going to sing 595. We all look for a measure of control in a world that it's just not that easy. Because there's things that happen that are beyond our control. And that's part of what's happening in our gospel story. Right? We've been on this path, whether we were in Mark's gospel, in which we spend most of the year, or in John's gospel this morning. Right? Jesus starts out on a plan. And it keeps changing. Because of what? Or I should say, who? The people, right? He wants to go off and have some prayer time. Boom. They shoot off and they meet him on the other side of the lake. Okay, fine. I'll send the disciples over. I'll sneak off and, you know, get that time. But every time they come to the other side, there's another crowd. There's another group of people. Maybe it's the same group. Maybe it's a different group. But there's always a need. And so no matter what he does, there's a constant press to adapt and change to what is emerging in their immediate present. And the story that we have this morning, they met him again on the other side of the lake. The crowd who apparently, many of whom, had been a part of that feeding. Are they looking for another meal? Maybe. The focus that came to me, that I kept hearing throughout this week on this passage, deals with both this need to be sustained and this desire or need find a way to keep it happening. Now let me translate that. You ever seen this sign?
Yep.
Yeah. On the front of your bulletin, not only is the word, is there a, you know, an artistic expression of Jesus' words, I am the bread of life. But there's also two images, one of which I hope you recognize, right? Because I took it out front. And the food, some of this will be going into that. The rest will be going to the Jericho Underhill food pantry. that is a part of our work together with the other faith communities of our area. Why do we do that? No, I mean, I'm really asking. Why? Because there's people who are hungry. There are people that do not have adequate food or shelter or clothing or resources. One of the things that you may not be aware of, but one of the things that is really cool about our denomination is that we have a mission arm called the United Methodist Committee on Relief. And that's that other visual that's down there. That was a program that was distributing food. UMCOR was distributing food. And since the pandemic began, through just the Sheltering in Love program, more than $3 million have been distributed to local faith communities in 40 plus countries and in 40 plus states. And I was trying to find out if UMCOR if Vermont was one of those states, and I couldn't find that information out in time. But when we give to UMCOR, 100% of every mission dollar given goes to people. It's one of the most cool things I feel like in our mission experience as United Methodists. When we contribute, like sometimes, I don't know whether it happens here, but they're called the One Great Hour of Sharing, right? And we raise money and we give it to the United Methodist Committee on Relief. 100% of that money goes to an actual need that people's lives are actually being cared for. Now, there are administrative things and because it's an organization and there's transportation, all of those things happen. That's why we pay apportionments. We take care of that on the front end. That's part of our responsibility as members of a body of believers. We take care of the things that need to happen. We keep the lights on for UMCOR, just like we keep the lights on in this sanctuary, right? And that's that aspect that I hear in this story, where Jesus talks about this expectation that everyone should receive enough to sustain them. That Jesus' purpose here is not to be a nice guy. He's not here to make sure that we find a good group of people to hang out with. But that the purpose of Jesus is to feed the world, the people who need it significantly. What's our purpose? Why do we exist? I'm asking this rhetorically, but I want to ask you to really pray about that question this week. Why does Essex Center exist? I remember hearing, and I forget who it was, I tried to look it up, but I couldn't find the original source. But somebody said that a couple of decades ago, you know, the church is kind of like just a little bit nicer than the Kiwanis. You know, they're a little bit kinder than the Lions Club. For some faith communities, that's a goal. To be known as a kind place, a nice place, a place where we're friendly. Is that why we exist? Because I hear in the scripture story this morning, Jesus saying that his purpose in life is far more profound. And it's rooted in how we live out this life together. That he has his purpose is not merely to be our friend, but that in his living, he pours out himself that we might be sustained. Sustained physically, emotionally, spiritually, and intellectually. To be fed in a way that we grow together in life. And you know, those words that he talks about, you remember the manna stories. You know the manna heritage. But there is this experience that stretches far beyond, that includes both the things of the body and of the soul. And that integration is key to who we are. The food pantry outside this front door is a little one, isn't it? Does it make it any less profound than the food pantries that serve hundreds each week? For every life is unique and wondrous. Every life is created in God's image and shares the very breath of God. We do what we can right now in the place where we live. And I want you to know, some of you already did. Laurie, I believe, is the one that shared the actual note with me. I think it was you, wasn't it you, Laurie? Yeah. At least one family left a note. It looked like there was actually a couple of different handwritings on the note. But there was a note left in the food pantry box. There was a note at the top that said, "Thank you. We've been able to have something nourishing to eat because of what you have offered." Underneath that was, again, "My family has been without, and knowing that I could come by and get something each day has kept us going." And then another note at the bottom said, "My husband and I thank you with all our heart, and we want to help as well. Call us. Here's our number. Here's our name." Why do we exist? What's our purpose in being? On most Sundays, we will offer up a prayer that Jesus taught to the disciples. Right? You know what I mean, right? There's a phrase in there: "Give us this day our daily bread." One of the things that I'm reminded of in the story out of John's Gospel is that I already have enough to eat. But I do need to be sustained. Yet there are sisters and brothers and other members of my family who do not. And so when I say those words, that is a means for me to be in solidarity with. offer up my part so that they might be sustained as well. When we share communion, we say Jesus offers himself. When you pray that prayer this week, what will you offer to sustain the sisters, brothers, and other family who are in need around us? It may be a jar of spaghetti sauce. It also might be a phone call or a visit. It might be listening to the cries of someone that you feel is your enemy. It may be. It may be offering your gift or talent, something that you are particularly good at, to someone who is without. But all of us have an opportunity to be a partner with the Christ. For as we receive, so we are called to give. And not once does Jesus say to them, you got to work for it. He just says, you're hungry. I'm here to help feed you. Let us be food sustain the world and sustain one another. Let us pray. Most holy and loving God, thank you. Thank you for the ways in which you come to us and you care for our needs beyond our imagining. Thank you for receiving us without judgment. For listening to us without condemnation. Constantly also drawing us to a deeper understanding of who we are and whose we are and what you would call us to be. Most holy God, in this way, may we find ways to sustain, to care, to love, in justice, in compassion, and peace. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'll bet I threw you a curve. I bet you don't know this song. You may not know the words, friends, but I think many of you will recognize the tune. In the worship and song, there's a beautiful song called You Feed Us, Gentle Savior. And I picked it out because it just really spoke to my heart. So just listen to the words for a second. You feed us, gentle Savior, the bread that makes us whole, the wine of your compassion poured out into our soul. The food of your own presence, your spirit strong within, the grace that heals us deeply and overcomes our sin. You bind us, gentle Savior, and weave us into one. One flesh, one blood made holy, the body of your Son. We gather here in hunger. One hunger, all the same. And with one grace, you bless us. Together, in his name. As Catherine and June lead us, would you stand as you're able? And let's share the first two verses. This morning, I was trying to find a more reasonable way to fill the cups from a common cup. As well as to be able to share with the kids and us big kids. Almost forgot. Would you join me in prayer? Holy God, you seek each day to provide for our sustenance. Thank you. Thank you for your creation. Thank you for all that you are. And thank you, Lord, for speaking to us constantly in terms are meaningful and real and rooted in this life. We remember, Lord God, that over the course of time, you have sought to draw us home. And in the fullness of your time, you sent Jesus to live life as we experience it, to be present in this marvelous and mystical way to share our life and yet be divine as well. And so we remember this day the ways in which you speak to us with his voice. We remember, Lord God, the meals that he offered not only to those who were closest to him, but to all who were in need. And we seek, Lord God, for your blessing and your presence to be in this meal that we share together. And we remember, Lord, that with his disciples, in a meal that they were sharing, he took bread from the table and he gave thanks to you. He broke the bread. And then he passed it among them. He said, take and eat. This is my body given for you. And every time you eat it, remember me. Towards the end of the supper, he also took a chalice of wine from the table. He gave thanks to God. And like with the bread, he passed it among them. And he said, take, drink, all of you. This is the essence of my life. My blood poured out for you and many for the forgiveness of sins. And when you drink it, remember me. Holy God, as we remember these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we come and we offer ourselves, body and soul, as a living and holy sacrifice to you. We pray, Lord, that you would pour out your Holy Spirit on each of us gathered here, on each and every family and life in the homes through electronic media. We pray, Almighty God, that your Holy Spirit will be a part of these gifts of juice and bread. The gifts of juice and bread at each table at home. Lord, make them all become for all of us the body and blood of Christ. That as we share this meal, we too might not only be sustained and lifted up, but also that we might become the very bread for the world. That our essence might be poured out for the sustenance of the world. Make us one with you, one with each other, one in ministry to all the world. Amen. Fred, would you join me, please? Fred? Oh, you already got it.
Yep.
Beautiful. It's a little crumbly. Brother, the body of Christ given for you.
best.
Chef for you. Let us break bread together on our knees. Let us break bread together on our knees. When I fall on my knees with my face to the rising sun, O Lord, have mercy on me. Let us drink wine together on our knees. Let us drink wine together on our knees. When I fall on my knees with my face to the rising sun, oh Lord, have mercy on me. As the Spirit of God leads you, or grows you, on the bottom step, perfect. Please come at the Spirit's direction. Receive either by intinction or individual, and celebrate, enjoy, and hope and love. If you have a prayer request, there are little pencils in your pew. Write out the name on your corner of your bulletin. Drop it in the offering plate. If you have a tithe or offering, you are welcome to bring it. I know that we're going to be hearing some music, and I invite you to just lift your soul and to be a part of all things. stand for the benediction. The bread we share physically is but a sign and symbol of the nourishment and sustenance that God brings to each of us. But it is significant and it is important. So I pray that as we go out, that we will be the very bread that the world needs to be sustained. By what we say, by how we live, and by the things that we do with our hands and feet and resources. Jesus is the bread of life. We have shared in that. And now we too can bring life in his name to all the world. Go in grace. Go in love. Go in peace. Amen.